We're going to overlap on that Lamentations passage that was read just before this song. In verses 25 and 26, it says this: that the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Welcome to the first Sunday of our church-wide series called Becoming Who We Are. And today is about taking a step and becoming disciples who are worshipers. Now, before we kind of glaze over because the singing has stopped, we must intentionally consider the one who we worship, the one who we celebrate, because if we are disordered here from the start, the further we go, the further off we will be. And so here at this church, we worship the Creator God, Yahweh of the Bible, his Son Jesus, who he sent to deliver us from evil, and the Holy Spirit, who is our equipper and our guide. Now, there is a crucial passage of introduction of this God when he was being acquainted with the humans he had chosen to be his representatives in the world. In Exodus 34, 5 to 8, it says this: Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." And Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. This is who God is. This is the introduction to who he is and the characteristics that he has. And our response is just the same as Moses. We worship. Now, if you want to take a deeper dive into this passage, there's a lot of things in there. You can watch the message on it on our YouTube channel. It's called God Is. So if this is who God is, and these are the characteristics that he has, he has probably done a lot of things. And these things are captured in biblical history, in human history, and in each one of our personal history. Now, this is the God who is above all other gods, the one who created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who dispersed the nations out at Babel, and the one who called a man and his wife to begin his portion among those nations, but one all to himself. This is the God who delivered his chosen people out of the grasp and torment of Egypt and their gods, and the one who gave this same people a new way to live as they only knew slavery. This is the God who brought them into the promised land, and the same God who brought them out of it. This is the God who went silent in preparation for the biggest blindside that Satan, sin, and death never saw coming. And this is the God who came down to earth to show us who we are, how to live, and what life is actually supposed to be like. So he's done some great things. And the Psalms are a chief worship vehicle of those things, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament church for most of its history. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 11, that we are grafted into that same history. We are adopted into that history, and it becomes our new spiritual family history. Psalm 136 is an exaltation, a raising up of who God is and what he has done in the history of his people. So what we're going to do is have a kind of responsive reading. We're going to take turns reading lines, and your part is pretty easy, so I hope you can catch on fast. And so I'm going to ask everybody just to stand up. We're going to read this together standing. And what I want you to do is to actually declare this, to exalt this, to raise this up with your voice. Now, imagine if you were asked to raise something up really heavy, but you were only allowed to use your voice. What would you do? That's what we want to do here. That's what we do when we raise up the name of God or who God is or what he has done. We are raising something up that is not physical in front of us. It is a spiritual reality. And so as you declare, it's the same line over again. As I read the first, you read the second. It says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Amen." This is who he is and what he has done. Your story tells the same story. Let us continue responding in song, lifting him up with our voice.
So we looked at who is God, and it begs us the question of who are we? You can be seated. Who are we? Well, we are worshipers. That's who we are. He is God and we are worshipers. It says in Genesis 1:27 that so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. See, we are created in the image of God. That's what we are. We are created in the image of God to look like God, to act like God, with a familiarity and a resemblance of our Creator. John Mark Comer, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, says this: "To be made in the image of God means that we're rife with potential. We have the divine's capacity in our DNA. We're like God. We were created to image his behavior, to rule like he does, to gather up the raw materials of our planet and to reshape them into the world, a world for human beings to flourish and thrive. But that's only half the story. The other half comes in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which says this: "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." We have image and we have dust. We read that we're image in the first verse, but yet we are dust of the ground in the second verse. Dust means we have limitations. Dust means that we are not God. We are created. We are not the creator. As much as we are like God, we are so unlike God in his perfection. So how do we approach God with this dichotomy? How do we come to him being made in his image yet be also dust at the same time? How do we participate in worship? How do we do that? How do we respond as these two things of image and dust? Well, we respond through Jesus. That's how we do it. We respond through Jesus. We worship knowing that Jesus made all of the difference. He is the one that bridges the gap of that image and dust problem that we have, that we don't know what to do with. He was both God and man. He is the epitome and embodiment of grace and of love and of mercy. He has made a gigantic highway to God. It is only through Jesus that we can truly worship. And we have access to God through Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." He's done it all. He's done everything. And for those of us who have surrendered our lives to Christ, it is Christ that lives in us. And that is something to celebrate, isn't it? So we need to take an opportunity today. We need to do two things. The first is we need to know who God is. That's what we heard at the beginning. Ben came up here and said, "This is God. This is who we worship. And you are made in his image." So, how do we respond? We respond in our heart. What is your heart's posture right now? What is going on in your heart? Consider some things today that you maybe need to confess that you've left sitting there needing to be confessed. Maybe you need to confess that during the service today. Something you know you've done wrong that has put a gap between you and God. That you know you need to confess those sins that are sitting in your mind and in your heart. Is Christ your Lord and King? Is he your Lord and King, or has something else or someone else been in the way of that? Where you've let something else be in the way between you and God? What is your heart posture like? And the second thing is to know who you are in relation to him. To understand you are image, but you are dust. And in that created being, that matter, that thing that God has created, what is your physical posture today? What is your outward expression of worship today to God, knowing who he is and who we are in relation to him? Are you thankful for who he is and how he's created you? Is that something that you feel you are ready to express to God? Now, if you feel comfortable, I encourage you to throw out your hands to God today in worship. Maybe it's unfamiliar or uncomfortable for you, but what is that physical act of worship? Have you lift your hands in prayer today? Have you lifted up your hands in need to God and say, "I need you, Jesus. I need you just as much as anyone. In fact, I feel more than anybody right now. I need you so desperately in my life. You are the only access to God and I need to reach out to you." What is your physical posture to God right now? Maybe your next step is to show him outwardly. Maybe it's been a long time since you've expressed that outwardly to him. And maybe your opportunity to express outwardly is to give. To give maybe some of the money that he has bestowed upon you. It is only through his grace and his love that you even have money. That he's allowed you to have a job. He's allowed you to have these things in this life to be able to give. So I'm going to have call the ushers for this morning for the offering. And maybe this can be a time for you to give in a response of worship. Now, if you're new or visiting, don't feel like you have to give. This is for people who call our church, this service, their church. So if you're visiting, and don't feel bad about letting it pass by. If you came unprepared, that's fine. But if you would like to give and worship God through this, I encourage you to express that outwardly, right? To say, "Here's my heart posture, it's for you. I've confessed my sin and I'm ready. But I need to outwardly express that," and maybe that's you today. So the ushers can go ahead and collect the offering at this time. And as we lead into this song, I'm going to get you to stand at this time. As we lead into this song, I want to draw attention to some of the lyrics. This is a song that I've known for a little while that Mason decided to do today. And what reminds me in this song is when it talks about I have a future now in Christ, and it keeps reminding me of all of the people in the past couple years that have come to know Christ for the first time here at Southridge. That in our midst right now, there's kids, sure there's teens, but there's adults that have come to know Jesus, and we need to celebrate that. We need to remember that these people have decided for the first time that my future is now in Christ. I have that second chance, and I've claimed that today. And if that's you that is new to faith, just claim that today and to remember this song is for you. But it's not just for those who are newly accepted Christ, those who have made that decision in the past, those who want to recommit their lives, or those here who want to commit their lives to Christ for the first time. They can sing these words with confidence and saying that I commit to you, Jesus, and that I have a future now in you. It is not I that no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So all of us must remember in worship who we are in relation to God. That we are in his image and we are worshipers. We are dust, yet Christ lives in us. Let's consider our heart posture and our physical posture as we worship God today.
There is nothing like a new year, and even more so a new decade, to kind of give us that one point in the year where we have a lot of hope. Because the new year, January 1, you know, is full of what could be's. I could lose that 20 pounds and give birth to that food baby I've been carrying around, right? I could read the whole Bible this year. I could be a better parent. I could be a better spouse. I could get baptized. There is just so much that could happen this year. And it's the one time of year where we actually spend time thinking about it, don't we? But if our hope is only built on what could be, we run the risk of having it crash down around us. Because our hope has to be built also on what has happened. It can't just be built on what could be. I'm going to show you a number on the screen. 132,708. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a big number. Does anyone know the significance of that number? Anyone? That's our mortgage after our December payment. That's how much we owed the bank for this building. And we asked you in December to consider giving to pay that off. I'm going to show you another number now. That's how much was given. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a bigger number. As of this week, we no longer have any debt. Isn't that amazing? Thank you for your generosity. And when you combine that number with the money that you gave for Starfish, for the bags that went to the kids in Haiti, to also the amount that you gave just for our general operating costs, here's the generosity that was shown. A little over $357,000 was given in the month of December. I tell you that because one of the lessons I have learned over and over and over again here at Southridge is that God always provides for us what we need. He has done it over and over and over again. And our hope that we have is built on things like that, where we see God move in amazing ways over and over and over again. And so when it comes to a new year and exploring new things and thinking about all the what could be's, we build that on a foundation of what has been. We build it on a foundation of who God is and how he has treated us and worked in us and through us. We come together to worship. We come together to celebrate who God is. And we look back on what he has done. And that builds the foundation for our hope as we look into the new year of what could be. Melina read from Psalm 139, and I want to read one more verse out of that psalm. It's verse 16, and it says this: "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And now that verse is loaded with a lot of theology, and there's a lot of questions. But one of the things I just want to leave with you this morning about that verse is this. What that verse tells me is that God created each one of you, and that each one of you has your own story. And when we live our story, it means that there's a whole bunch of what could be's. And I don't know what you're thinking through right now for this year to come. What could this year look like for you? What could be? And some of you, it's just full of amazing things that you're looking forward to, like going to Israel and Egypt, or going and starting something new at school, or doing something amazing, or getting something. But for others of us, there's the what could be's, and they doesn't look good, right? And for some of you, the what could be's is just kind of stuck. You're in neutral, waiting for what will be. I've shared over the last month, I'm kind of in that position. And this last week, I finally got in and had my biopsy on the 30th. And I'm still waiting for the results. And so my 2020 is full of a little uncertainty, but what could be? There's a lot of things I go, I know I don't want that. I don't want this. I would love to have this, but it's still what could be. And it's in those moments where you're not sure, where there's anxiety possibly, where there's fear possibly, where you really need that hope. You need that hope that is built on not what could be, but what has been. And I hope today that each one of you has a hope that is built on who God is and what he's done for you and what he will do for you. This week and over the next 8 weeks, we are launching into a series called Becoming Who We Are. And it really is a series that we've put together to help us understand who God wants us to become. It's a series about how, hopefully, it will shape your story. And you will see how God wants to shape your story and become the person he wants you to be. And we're going to look at things like, what does it mean to follow Jesus daily? And why does God want us to be in a community with a few? And what does God call us when he calls us to serve one another? And what is he saying when he's telling us to engage in mission together? All the things of discipleship, all the things of the story that he wants to write in your life. But at the end of the day, I want to leave you with this. Because of who God is, you and I can have hope no matter what we're facing. And I stand before you, even in my own life with a little bit of uncertainty. What could be? I still have hope. I have a hope because I know that God will walk through this year with me no matter what I'm facing. He will give me strength. And he will help me get through it. And I pray that is the same for you. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. God, you're so big. And it blows me away that you already know my story and how it's going to turn out. You knew it before I was even born. And yet part of the human experience is to live one day at a time. And in that living, I must live in faith and I must live with hope. And so, God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you love me so much and you love everyone here so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. And he rose again. And because of that, we can have an unshakable hope and we can face anything that is thrown at us. Lord, thank you that my hope is not built on what could be, but what is and what you've done. In Jesus' name.